Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
You might notice that you have sneezy or itchy, running, watery eyes, and many things can trigger an allergic reaction, and you're not always sure what it was that triggered it. Well, my guest today, Dr. Naveen Mehrotra, he's a pediatrician in private practice in New Jersey and a spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. So, Dr. Mehrotra, people get this seasonal stuff. They're not sure if it's a cold sometimes. They're not sure if it's allergies, but they don't even know what set it off. So how do we identify some of these triggers, and how do we know what this allergy is?
Yeah, it's a great topic and such a timely topic right now because our office is packed with kids with allergy symptoms coming in, those itchy eyes, the sneezing, sniffling, coughing, and it is just in the air right now. And we as parents need to understand what and how to deal with these symptoms and situations. And I know our office is packed with patients like that, and I'm sure all across the country it's like that. It's that fall and spring. Everybody knows it as those hay fever. And the most difficult part is trying to identify what can you do to prevent this from happening. And when it actually happens, how do you take care of it? So the trigger factors are what people need to know and really be, you know, sort of Sherlock Holmes and say, okay, well, this is what caused this to happen. Or if they can't identify that, then they really have to go for allergy testing.
Okay, so, you know, we walk outside in the spring and we like to look at all the little flowers coming up and everything. And then you just start to itch your nose. And the more you itch it, the more it itches. And I mean, really, it seems that way sometimes. So if you start the process, then it becomes worse. So how do you know? Is it just something floating in the air? How do you identify what exactly that it is? You mentioned allergy testing, Dr. Mehrotra, but everybody doesn't always want to go for, you know, full solid allergy testing. Is there a way to say, well, okay, the pollen count is really high today, so this is what, or the mold count, it's just been raining a lot, and now I feel better, or, you know, is there a way to sort of put these things into context?
Well, you can definitely try to make that linkage, but a lot of times what happens is there might be 10 different trees that you have in your backyard that start to sprout up, 10 different types of grasses that are around, and you may not know exactly what is the exact thing that's causing the problem. So when you go for the allergy testing, you can say, okay, well, it's the dogwood tree in my backyard that's causing me the problem versus all these other 9 trees that I have in my backyard. And once you do that, then you'll have a much better understanding of how to be better, but not necessarily that it'll give you the answer every single time. So if you know that you're allergic to pollen and that as soon as you go out, you start sneezing and coughing, then you can try to avoid, you know, going out or looking at least look at the pollen count from day to day, and then be a lot more proactive.
Okay, so if you can identify some of these triggers, and some triggers, Dr. Mehrotra, might even be, you know, like dust mites or insect stings or animal dander. I mean, some of those things are pretty obvious. You know, if you get stung by a bee or if you, you know, but dust mites and things inside the house are not always as easily traceable. So is
right.
There a way to identify those?
Sure. Well, you can, once again, I'll keep on going back to this. If you do get the allergy testing, you can see if you're allergic to dust. So what happens is if you are allergic to dust, then you have to go around making sure that you get rid of everything that hosts those dust mites. So you might have to remove carpeting. You might have to get the allergy covers. You might have to get air purifiers and so on and hope that it'll help you in the season. But if you're really allergic to dust, that can be a year-round issue and not just seasonal. So it was really surprising to me when I found out that in most of the inner city areas, the highest allergy-provoking thing was cockroaches. You wouldn't imagine that, and you'd say, oh, my God, my house is clean. But they share a common ductwork or a common sewage work where the cockroaches come out in the middle of the night. And, you know, your neighbor might have had them even though you didn't. So you can get allergies to anything, and you need to be sure and try to figure out what it is.
Yeah, that's disgusting, as are dust mites. I mean, you think about that. Ugh, that's just gross. Now, if people want to try and avoid some of these, give us some tips on avoiding some of these triggers. Obviously, you can't stay inside all the time, but do things like air filters. Do things like changing, you know, they have those pillowcases and some of those like duvet covers that are supposed to protect you from allergens, and people want to know about neti pots and some of these things. So go over some things we can do if we do notice these triggers.
So definitely, I think it doesn't hurt to partake into all of this, you know, trying to get rid of the carpets in your household, trying to get the allergy covers so that you can minimize the exposure to these trigger factors. But once again, it may not necessarily cure what your issue is. So if your child is going out and playing in the pollen, as soon as, you know, the weather gets nice, they'll be out there. Let them come back in and take a quick shower, get rid of all the pollen that's on them, and hopefully that'll reduce the symptoms. So once again, I keep on saying, put on your Sherlock Holmes hat and see, what did their child do that caused this issue to happen, and how can you avoid it? And to confirm what those triggers are, you know, go for the testing.
And so what about something like, I mean, you're a pediatrician, and trying to get a kid to do a nasal lavage is probably not the funnest thing a parent has ever tried, but keeping clean, washing our hair from that pollen and things, if we want to teach our children about avoiding some of these triggers, what do you recommend that we do with kids?
Well, I think the kids, if you make that into a routine for them, that they have to come in and take a shower, they have to clean out their hair, they have to make sure, I mean, it's common, I guess, good practice, even just when you're looking for tick bites, or if you're looking for ticks or insects that are attached to the kid, you go ahead and give them a top-to-down, top-to-bottom sort of a cleanup as soon as they come back from playing outside. Similarly, if they, you know, no matter what you do, the symptoms may just not go away, and the child, or the triggers may not go away, and the child will develop symptoms. And that's when you go ahead and start intervening with treatment strategies. And you can then start using your neti pot and your nasal lavage and taking the antihistamines and any other medications that are required.
What is allergy testing like for kids? What are you doing now today? Because back in the day, you know, some kid would come to school and they'd have little dots all over their arm or their back or something. Is it the same? How does it work now?
It is still the same. So not the greatest thing to do or to put a kid through, but it's something that may give you more information. So there's two ways of doing it. One is definitely the blood test, the RAS test, or some of the other types of tests that are now available on the market that can test you. They have an allergy profile, so it'll test you for some of the common things, you know, in the environment as well as foods, and it'll give you an indication if the child is allergic to something or not. Now, when you speak to allergists, they say, well, the blood tests are not that accurate, and what you really need to do is to do a skin testing. And what that is they'll take a little bit of an allergen and poke the skin on it and see how the skin reacts. And that may have to be done in many different sittings, because you can only test for so many based on the size of the kid at one time. So if you're testing for 40 or 80 allergens, and you know the kid only has a small back, you're going to go ahead and put those in, and then you'll get a response from that, and then you go ahead and do it again in another week or two, and so on, until you get a full posit understanding of what they are allergic to and what they're not.
And then the next step is, once you've gotten that composite of what they're allergic to, then it's up to the parents and the kid to pretty much avoid those triggers, to look for ways to, as you say, make it a routine, make sure they shower, make sure they know what these triggers are, and then it becomes this routine. Is this something, when they have these kinds of allergies, Dr. Marotra, that stays with them for life, or do they grow out of these things?
Well, it depends what the allergy is. They say a lot of the food allergies, especially in the first few years of life, will get outgrown by 5 or 6 years of age. Some do not. Environmental allergies can surface 1 year and not be in another year, and the response also can vary from year to year. So it's sort of, I guess I'll say, luck of the draw, how the body responds and what sort of a system it develops over time. And as a parent, all you can really do is understand how your child reacts to a certain situation or a certain environment and see where you can maximize and make it the best for them. So if you know that this is a trigger factor and you can avoid it, you go ahead and avoid it. And that's called avoidance therapy. Very, very scientific name there.
No kidding. Avoidance therapy. Well, that's pretty much straightforward, isn't it? But that's a really great tip, because you do want to teach your kids what to avoid. I mean, kids with food allergies, ever since they're little, have always been told, you have to avoid this, or you cannot be at the table with this, or I'm sorry, but you know, if you're going to the birthday party, you're not going to be able to eat the wheat and the cake. You know, so kids with food allergies have always learned this. But these other kinds of allergies, seasonal allergies and mold and pollen and all these, it's not so clear cut. So wrap it up for us with your best advice on avoidance therapy, identifying triggers, and teaching your kids to deal with these allergies.
Right, and being proactive. So when you know that, you know, certain days or, you know, the weather is going to be in a certain situation, see what you can do. Because once the kids do get those symptoms, oh my goodness, it is very difficult to control. And those kids are miserable. You may think that it's just allergies. But really, allergies can affect your lifestyle from day to day. Kids can manifest with runny nose, with nasal congestion, itchy eyes, stomach pain, body rashes, wheezing, asthma, all. And it just affects them from top to bottom. And that poor kid is not able to function on a day-to-day basis. So what you have to do is educate yourself, educate your child. And you may not think your child understands, but let me tell you, those kids are so smart and they understand everything to a T. And they will also be taking charge of their health. So, you know, learn about it, educate themselves and you, and then if they do end up getting into symptoms, make sure you know how to take care of those symptoms in collaboration with your pediatrician.
Well, thank you so much. It is great advice, especially at this time of the year when people are starting to notice some of that stuff. You know, you're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD, and our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. So if you want to get involved in these shows, subscribe to us on iTunes and rate and review, because that way we can all get involved and we can all be involved in this discussion together and learn together from these experts from the AAP. Thanks so much for listening. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.